Now, a radio show dedicated to the genius of the Declaration of Divine Right, constitutionally preserved by our forefathers. The right to protect yourself and your loved ones from force, aggression, crime, and the tyranny of an overbearing, power-hungry government class. The right to bear arms, guaranteed in the Second Amendment to the United States Constitution, the greatest and most enduring blueprint for governance ever devised by man. This amendment enshrines the proposition that the right to keep and bear arms devolves upon us from God and not government. Now, the Second Amendment Radio Show with your hosts, Bill Robinson and Ralph Esposito.
Well, hello and welcome once again to Second Amendment Radio. Bob Savage along here instead of Ralph Esposito, who's not making up for today's program, and our major domo, Bill Robinson, is in studio.
Hello, Chief. Hello, everyone.
Good to see you. The Second Amendment Show brought to you this month, or this week, rather. Could say month too because they're always here. The Nutcracker, 2159 Empire Boulevard in Webster. When the hungry's it, hit the Nutcracker. Proud Second Amendment supporters and sponsors of this fine show, which strives to bring you the truth every week. Start off your day at the Nutcracker with great breakfast specials, breakfast handhelds, frittatas, omelets, steak and eggs. However you like to start your day, they've got it for you. Then for lunch, your favorite sandwiches. They've got platters, clubs, melts. You can create your own from the sandwich board. Got a great kids menu, and they also serve adult beverages all day long. And then for dinner, steaks, seafood, home-style favorites that stick to your ribs, a great Italian taste, too, with salads, cold plates, and soups. And they've got a meeting room in the back for your family gathering or your fraternal organization, your church group, whatever. Make sure you set it up in advance with the Nutcracker. We appreciate their support and their endorsement of our Constitution and the Second Amendment, the Nutcracker, 2159 Empire Boulevard, Webster. And tell them that you heard about them here on Second Amendment Radio. Bill.
Well, yes, we've got a fairly interesting show today. We've got...
fairly interesting.
Yes.
Yeah. Today's show, ladies and gentlemen, is probably not going to suck. Okay?
Okay. Anyway, so Claudia Tenney, Congresswoman Claudia Tenney, is joining us first. And then our second guest should be Eric Pratt. And then later on in the show should be Paloma Capanna, our civil rights attorney. And Eric Pratt with Gun Owners of America is going to be covering some of the cases we're working on, too. And Paloma's had some interesting interviews recently on TV. She's been all over the country with interview related to the January 6th event, okay? The non-insurrection.
Yeah,
she was
right
down there doing interviews related to that non-event.
You say she's anyway on TV? Was she like on national TV? Like
yeah, she was. She had a lot of interviews down there. Well, she put that amicus brief together there, and they were talking about that, and she was right there in the Supreme Court watching some of that, some of the, the arguments for the, what was it? What's officially January 6th event? What are they were calling it? They're calling it literally, the Democrats are calling it an insurrection, right? They're still using
that. They've been doing that forever.
Yeah, I mean, so they're still using that insurrection word, which it wasn't. No guns were used. I mean, you're going to take over a country without guns. Oh, really? Yeah. So anyway.
Yeah, with the conservatives who were on the ground there acting like tourists more than anything else, just walking around and observing the velvet ropes inside the Capitol. I don't remember that happening in the American Revolution much.
No.
If at all. No.
Well, they're being unjustly put in prison for years and years and years, and so there's a lot of, screaming and yelling about that, but that's another story. She'll be chatting about that with us later. All right, so our first guest today should be Claudia. Well, we're getting Claudia on the air with us.
Here Congresswoman Claudia Tenney. Want to take a break?
Yeah. Why don't we take a 3-minute break? Short break, and we'll be up with her.
We can do that. And by the way, the Second Amendment Show also brought to you by Tim Hortons. That's the official coffee of Second Amendment Radio. Stop by your nearby Tim Hortons.
Rock on,
Harley-Davidson and Rock On Power Sports, West Henrietta Road. Shop the greatest selection of legendary Harleys and save big on a wide array of used bikes. And Rock On Power Sports has rides from Honda, Kawasaki, and Yamaha. Rock On has a helpful staff to save you big money. The Rock On Service Department has expert technicians and a great supply of parts to get and keep you on two wheels. WYSL listeners get $500 off used motorcycles while supplies last. Rock On has side-by-sides, ATVs, and jet boats, too. Anything that's fun and goes fast. On and off-road and on the water, shop the all-new Rock On first. Rock On Harley-Davidson and Rock On Motorsports, 2600 West Henrietta Road. Open Tuesday through Saturday. Call 424-2120. Visit rockonharleydavidson.com.
Safeguarding your freedoms and your future. The WYSL stations.
Hey, Mr. Private Citizen, do you think that not voting protects your privacy? The government is already listening to your phone calls, monitoring your purchases, reading your emails, tracking your movements. Elections have consequences. If you don't vote, you give up your constitutional rights, including your Second Amendment rights. Not voting is a vote for no guns. This message brought to you by MonroeCountyScope.com.
Proudly sponsoring the Second Amendment Show on WYSL, Turnbull Manufacturing Company. Not only performing faithful, accurate restoration of vintage firearms, now Turnbull is a federally licensed manufacturer of new firearms, including our own line of Colt-style single-action revolvers and Winchester-style rifles. Our expert gunsmiths hand-fit our firearms using period-correct finishes. New or restored, a firearm from Turnbull is one you'll be proud to own, display, and use. Visit our beautiful showroom on 5 and 20 in Bloomfield. Open weekdays 8 to 4:30. Check TurnbullMFG.com.
Unexpected noise rumbles downstairs in the middle of the night. Your heart races as you tiptoe in the dark and see a flashlight beam scanning the walls of your home. That's when you're glad your gun has a LaserMax sight. Everything changes when a pulsating green or red dot paints the chest of an intruder. And a featherweight, dependable LaserMax laser sight on your gun greatly assists in target acquisition and accurate firing in stressful situations. LaserMax, the green or red lights that both mean stop. New shooters learn sight picture and trigger control much faster with a LaserMax sight. Available for all popular guns for guide rod, accessory rail, side plate, or frame mounting. Made locally, LaserMax, the choice of law enforcement professionals. LaserMax. When a second shot isn't an option, visit LaserMax.com.
WYSL. Avon Gun and Hunting Supply, a locally owned and operated gun shop here for your hunting needs. With changes in New York State laws, they'll work with you to fulfill your needs. Open from 10 a.m. Tuesday through Saturday, Avon Gun, East Main Street, next to Tompkins Community Bank.
This is Second Amendment Radio, locked and loaded on WYSL.
AM 1040, FM 92.1, and FM 95.5 West.
Welcome on in here to another edition of Second Amendment Radio. Glad to have you with us. Bill, why don't you introduce our first guest today?
Yes, we do have Congresswoman Claudia Tenney joining us again. She's going to give us an update on the recent voting on the FISA courts, all the screaming and yelling and everything going on. Give us the rundown. Will you, Claudia, tell us what happened there and why we need what you voted for?
Well, thank you so much, Bill. And this is obviously FISA has been very controversial for a long time. It's a huge problem. It's something that President Trump reauthorized with no changes back in 2018. And I think it was probably something that he didn't want to do. But it's important to note that there's two parts of this. This is, FISA has been around for a long time. We created a FISA court more recently. It was originally in 1978. But there is the Foreign Intelligence Act, which is the Surveillance Act. What's at issue and what people are upset about is not the one that was exploited by the Obama-era FBI, including the collusion with Hillary Clinton to smear Trump, call him a Putin puppet, and all this Russia stuff. This is not what is really coming under fire, because one of the things, what's really important to distinguish is that Section 702 is a different section than what was used to smear Trump, which he actually indicated in one of his things. And it's horrible. We've got to reform it. And we did. And over 56 reforms were in our House bill to reform FISA. I'm worried the Senate may not add all those in. But some of the provisions that people should know and understand the difference is that this is not a warrantless search against American citizens. All American citizens are required a warrant, even if they're known terrorists. Even if they're known terrorists. For example, these are people outside of our country. We have a lot of people who are in this country who are engaging in terrorist activity. We would not know any of that. Trust me, as we sit and look at where we stand, look what's happening in Columbia, New York City. The police have no ability to do anything. Our government refuses to, our Letitia James refuses to do anything. Joe Biden doesn't do anything. The mayor has no tools or refuses to do anything. Chuck Schumer, who's a New York City resident, doesn't do anything. We've got people there with ties to that. We are pretty sure they have ties to Hamas. If we did not have access to FISA, we would not know. And I said certain FISA, the ability to go and view what non-American citizens are doing. We have to get a warrant with it when it's American citizens. So I think what people another way to explain this is, for example, if we are looking to do a query on an American citizen, because remember, we don't have foreign assets around the world anymore. We don't have people in countries that are out there doing watching on the ground for us. A lot of this and a lot of the Chinese and Russian and Iranian and our enemies are using the Internet and using these databases and things to go after them. The FBI has committed horrible abuses. We all agree with that, especially against Republicans. In fact, more against Republicans than anyone else, and especially against our rights. That's why in this FISA bill, there are 15 provisions that are stopping the FBI from doing queries. So this isn't what has nothing to do with the Carter page. We're taking care of that. You know, it cuts 90% of the FBI out of these queries. They can't do it at all. It prohibits the FBI from using evidence as evidence for a crime. It prohibits them from making, and that means that's like the fishing expedition type of search. Oh, let's go look for a crime, like everything they're doing to President Trump and so many Republicans.
Yes,
we're prohibiting that. It creates specific criminal liability, something that has never been done with 702 leaks. It makes the FBI compensation contingent on this compliance. So that if they're going to violate this compliance, it cuts off their pay. It mandates that independent audits of the FBI of U.S. persons has to be done by all parties, not just the federal court, not just the executive branch, but we have to know what's going on with oversight coming from the House, which is something that we've never had before. So there is an amendment that allows this aggressive oversight. It was actually put in by Chip Roy, which I supported. A couple other things when it comes to the Carter Page thing, which is a little bit of a different sphere. They wrongfully went after Carter Page. It was the whole Russia collusion hoax abuse. But we create, and again, more enhanced criminal penalties against those people and the people that leak applications and lie, actually, to the court, which is what happened in that case. It also gives FISA the authority to prosecute for contempt, something they've ever had. How could they not have that? So we added that. It also prohibits using political opposition research. That's like the Steele dossier and those types of press reports to use that. Those are not able to be used before this court. And a couple of things. I mentioned my support of the Roy Amendment, which allows more aggressive oversight. It actually allows key members of Congress to be in the room when a FISA hearing is taking place. Now, they can't participate because that would be a violation of separation of powers, but they can observe so that we can have oversight over this. It assigns counsel to make sure that we scrutinize all these surveillance applications and what they're putting through. And what I really want to say, Bill, because I think this is really important that people need to understand, the great debate that we are having in this country right now, especially as conservatives and constitutionalists, which I am a constitutional conservative. I took an oath of office. What is our founding father's mission? And there's two sides that are coming together, ironically, and it's happened over time, and our founders knew about it. The libertarians and the progressive left are actually in the same place. And that is not my interpretation of the Constitution, nor is it by most people that are observing this. Our Constitution, especially the Fourth Amendment, is about ordered liberty. We have to balance a free society with a safe society. And when you have a country like ours right now that is facing, you know, millions of so-called legal refugees came in, and as I said to you before, Bill, many of them wonderful people who have enhanced our society. We support legal immigration. But many of these people, I suspect, and I've heard, and I know, were not properly vetted. So they're here in the United States, and that was during the Obama era. Now we have an open border where people are just flooding into the our border. You know, they estimate anywhere as up as to 15 million coming into our border. 15% are coming into the southern border on the terror watch list. 85% of the people on the terror watch list coming across our border are now in this country who are going to create, you know, a cavalcade of 9-11s. We could have 9-11s looking like smash and grabs. If we continue to defund and demoralize our police like we've done in New York with cashless bail, the detainer law, and all that we've done to make it impossible for law enforcement across all levels of government to even investigate illegal immigrants in New York under the green light law. They got licenses. We're providing them with everything. If you now say that these illegal immigrants, each one of them, who we can't ascertain who they are, what they are, we can't even find out who they are without getting a warrant on these illegal immigrants in this country, that's like throwing the baby out with the bathwater. This has been defined as a very anti-police bill when, at a time when we have a society that needs order. And the concept that is so important for people to understand about the balancing act that our founders and the genius of our founders did is we have ordered liberty. Our rights, although they are absolute, there are some exceptions. And the Fourth Amendment requires probable cause with a warrant for unreasonable searches and seizures. It doesn't say no searches and seizures. So we have to be very careful about monitoring our police and holding them accountable, especially the abuses of the FBI and our federal government, particularly under the Obama administration, yeah. And now we're seeing this again under the Biden administration. But it's like saying, okay, we have bad cops. By the way, we have them everywhere in all levels of government. We have to be able to prosecute and get rid of them, and we also have to change the laws. That's what we did very carefully with this bill, with months of research and working on this. So a few libertarians and a few progressives have gotten together and are making a lot of money promoting themselves online, calling themselves absolutists or whatever they want to call themselves, but they're putting us at risk. So we're trying to find a way to protect our rights, to stop the spying, and to make sure that we keep our communities safe without infringing on our rights. And it's a very delicate balance. But this is a better bill than we've ever had. And I worry that with the way that this administration is dangerously running our country, the way the New York State government is dangerously not allowing our police to do their jobs to keep us safe, that we will have perilous times if we don't have a better version of FISA.
Yeah, yeah, dead on, dead on. Okay, well, this needed to be covered. Thank you very much for joining us today. This is critical because there's a lot of stuff going around, as you know, and all the websites. It's a mess. So we got to get some clarity
here. Thank you, Bill. We've got to protect our Second Amendment rights. I was at the Syracuse Gun Show yesterday. You know, they are preventing us from being able to have our rights. They're hurting our gun owners, our gun shop owners. They're, you know, Kathy Hochul's cracking down, and guess what? Everyone's buying their ammunition in Pennsylvania. I mean, this is hurting our own state, our own lawful people who are selling ammunition for, you know, for hunting sports, personal protection, all that stuff. This is we have a real problem, but we've got to clarify what our mission is, and we've got to clarify as a country what our Constitution is really about. I condemn everything that the Biden administration does, and I don't trust a lot of dirty cops. We have them everywhere. We have a lot of people wrongfully in prison, but we also have a lot of people on the street who are going to cause harm to our communities, and I don't want to see that happen either. So it's always a tough balance, but that's one of the reasons I voted for a lot of the amendments, which were very good, and why I in the end, ultimately supported not completely eliminating this program.
All right. Well, you covered it in a short time. We appreciate it. But come on back in the studio when you have some time again. Join us for an hour or, you know, take a 20-minute spot on the phone with us here the next round, you know, interview with us on the phone, and let's cover any we have a lot of subjects to cover. So we would appreciate you joining us again. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
For the short version of what happened.
Congresswoman Claudia Tenney, ladies and gentlemen, appreciate her appearing on the show.
Yeah.
Very what's important. Up next there, Bill?
Well, we should probably go to a break here again, okay. A short break again, and Eric Pratt with Gun Owners of America on a national level should be joining us and covering multiple gunfights going all over the country here. It's unbelievable what's going on. You know,
yeah, it is.
It is, so.
Okay, Second Amendment Radio, one of our fine sponsors, Rosie's Italian Cafe, 2133 Five Mile Line Road in Penfield. Make sure you call ahead for a reservation. Popular place, 585-385-5600. Again, tell them you heard about them on Second Amendment Radio on WYSL.
Sweet loving woman.
Rock on, Harley-Davidson, and Rock on Power Sports, West Henrietta Road. Shop the greatest selection of legendary Harleys and save big on a wide array of used bikes. And Rock on Power Sports has rides from Honda, Kawasaki, and Yamaha. Rock on has a helpful staff to save you big money. The Rock on Service Department has expert technicians and a great supply of parts to get and keep you on two wheels. WYSL listeners get $500 off used motorcycles while supplies last. Rock On has side-by-sides, ATVs, and jet boats, too. Anything that's fun and goes fast. On and off-road and on the water, shop the all-new Rock On first. Rock On Harley-Davidson and Rock On Motorsports, 2600 West Henrietta Road. Open Tuesday through Saturday. Call 424-2120. Visit rockonharleydavidson.com.
Bill Frady here. Whenever my ideological bloodlust begins to wane, I listen to Bob Savage on WYSL.
Hey, Mr. Gun Collector. How do you like buying a new rifle now? This is what happens when you don't show up and you don't vote. Elections have consequences. Vote your gun rights and save the Second Amendment. Remember, not voting is a vote for no guns. This message brought to you by Monroe County Scope.
WYSL.
Avon Gun and Hunting Supply, a locally owned and operated gun shop here for your hunting needs. With changes in New York State laws, they'll work with you to fulfill your needs. Open from 10 a.m. Tuesday through Saturday, Avon Gun, East Main Street, next to Tompkins Community Bank.
You're listening to the Second Amendment Radio Show on WYSL.
And we are back in here on Second Amendment Radio on WYSL, 92.1 FM, 95.5 FM West, AM 1040, now at 27,000 watts. Here's Bill.
Hey, hi, Eric. Thanks for joining us. Appreciate you coming back on with us.
Absolutely. Good to be here with you guys.
Well, this would be Eric Pratt from GOA, ladies yes. and gentlemen. Just want to let you know.
So, Eric, you know, we were talking the other day with Steve, one of our attorneys, right? Obviously, with Steve Stamboli. And there's one gunfight going after another, you know, this verbal stuff, these lawsuits we got pending. And, of course, it seems like every day you could start a new one. But we, you know, if we had the money and the time and the energy, we literally could start a new lawsuit daily, once a day. But anyway, the mission. Let's start off with Gun Owners of America. Who is GOA? What's your mission? What's your purpose? So our listeners clearly understand what's going on here.
Absolutely. Well, our mission is to stop gun control and promote Second Amendment rights. We believe that the Second Amendment means what it says when it says that the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. So we oppose all infringements. We believe it's, as our Declaration of Independence says, it's a right given to us by God, which is why government shouldn't be infringing. And you're absolutely right. I wish we had the money and the resources to challenge everything that comes down the pike, because there is so much at the state level. There is so much at the federal level. In fact, the most recent thing at the federal level, just last week in the Federal Register, the Biden administration is now going full bore on trying to get at universal gun owner registration. Mm-hmm. I mean, because now we have, for the first time in our history, our federal government will require virtually every person who sells even a single gun to become a licensed gun dealer. Now, this is throughout the entire country. And virtually every person who buys a gun even privately, to register the sale with the federal government. The Biden administration itself described this rule as moving the United States as close to universal background checks as possible without additional legislation. Of course, the problem with universal checks is universal registration, and we all know that's dangerous because registration is a first step to gun confiscation. So this is what, you know, I'm talking about. We are gearing up for a legal fight on this. We're also gearing up to defeat this with legislation in Congress, which even if we can't get it signed into law, just having Congress vote on it and vote against it sends a great message to the courts. And so we're encouraging people to support Representative Clyde's legislation. It's H.R. 6734. People can go to our website at gunowners.org. We've got an alert there at the top of the page. Look, I know you guys in New York, you've already been dealing with, you know, universal background checks, and, you know, everybody who sells a gun already has got to go through a background check. But, you know, there were 30, prior to this, there were 30 freedom states that didn't do that to private transactions. And what this does is it closes that freedom loophole where now there will be nowhere in the country where you can go to purchase a firearm virtually nowhere in order to stay off paper. So this is why we've got to speak out and why we've got to defeat this.
Well, you have the Democrat Party, Eric, has declared outright war on our Second Amendment across the board throughout the United States of America, and they will not deal as a political force against, they won't go after their own criminals. You know, Democrat gun crimes as one example. We got Democrat gun crimes coming out of our ears here in New York State, and they won't touch it. And, you know, they're leaving it alone. So they're, and of course, they're also, wink, wink, thumbs up, our attorney general, the governor, is on the side of the criminals, actually responsible for the expansion of crime. They're the lead, what do you want to call it? I guess the leaders of criminal expansion. The governor of our state of New York is for crime expansion along with our attorney general. So what are we supposed to do here? These Democrats have gone nuts. The court, the, you know, the no bail, all this nonsense stuff that they've come up with, these new laws. And we're being persecuted, prosecuted, trying to shut our gun shops down, and they won't deal with the criminals. They're just avoiding it. They're avoiding dealing with their own criminals, their own party criminals. So we're in a mess here. We've never been in a situation this bad. You know, you've been doing this for years like we have. You know, been working on the gun stuff. You know, and your dad was GOA. I mean, you guys have worked on multiple gun cases, multiple lawsuits. I mean, this is bizarre what's going on now in the United States. It's unbelievable. Yeah. And they're getting away with it. The Democrats up to this point are getting away with it. It's a cover-up, smoke and mirrors. So,
well, elections have consequences, and, yeah, and obviously this is important for people to be registered and to vote. And I tell you what, I mean, there have been some good things happening. We've gotten some pro-gun victories. So,
yes,
you know, I don't want to hear it from people that my vote doesn't matter. No, we just repealed the veterans gun ban just recently. We just cut the ATF funding by $122 million, and they're screaming like greased pigs over that cut. So elections can have positive repercussions, too. But you're absolutely right. This is a Democrat Party problem. It's not just New York. I mean, look at the federal level. I mean, remember that poor nursing student in Georgia who was murdered by the illegal alien? That guy is already back out on the streets. I mean, this is diabolical. The Democrat Party goes after the innocent, and the real lawbreakers, they slap their wrists and then throw them back out on the street. And I'm sure you've probably already talked about this on your show, but to show you how pernicious this is, how they go after the good guys and look the other way when it comes to real bad guys. Think about how this rule I was just talking about, this universal background check rule, is going to cost innocent lives. Just recently, an airport administrator who worked at the Bill and Hillary Clinton National Airport in Arkansas was gunned down by the ATF in his home during a pre-dawn raid. And the ostensible reason for being there, he had sold several guns from his private collection, something that's been legal to do for over 200 years. But that execution of a law-abiding citizen should be a chilling wake-up call to how this new rule is going to be enforced, where law-abiding citizens are going to be subject to pre-dawn raids if they sell even a single gun without becoming a gun dealer. And, you know, we say it all the time, but the people who will be affected the most by this rule, it's not going to be the drug cartels and the gangs, no. Because, you know, the Democrat administrations just give them guns, just like they did during Obama's Fast and Furious. Remember that? I mean, whistleblowers pointed out how criminals were being given guns to smuggle thousands of guns into Mexico, which led to the deaths of scores of Mexicans. And Border Patrol agent Brian Terry was gunned down. But what was really treacherous, what the Obama administration was doing, according to the whistleblowers, is that this was intentional so that it would lead to calls for gun control. This was from ATF agents saying this, sending guns south of the border in the hands of bad guys with plans to exploit the resulting deaths so that the U.S., the Obama administration, could then call for gun control. That's how diabolical anti-gun Democrats are.
Eric, this BATF&E organization, this rogue government agency here that's got atrocities all over the place throughout the United States, shot and killed innocent people multiple times. What's the story with these guys? How can they make a raid? I thought they were defanged. They were neutered years ago, and they were not allowed to do the no-knock searches. They were not allowed to do these raids. They were supposed to back off and have other agencies with them to lead, have other agencies lead these raids. And what's going on here with these people? What are we going to do about the BATF? Can we do anything about them? Your thoughts on the BATF&E now. What's going on with this rogue agency?
Yeah. They need to be eliminated.
Exactly.
I mean, because you're absolutely right. The Biden administration, after the Breonna Taylor, sad, very, very tragic death of an innocent woman, as far as I can tell, in Kentucky, she may have dated some bad guys, drug dealers and things like that. But anyway, there was a no-knock raid, that's under dispute whether it was or wasn't, but for the sake of argument, a no-knock raid there in Kentucky. She was killed. And so the Biden administration basically had their internal regs. We're not going to do any more no-knock raids. Well, that seems to be what happened there in that Arkansas raid of Brian Malinowski's house. So, where's the justice there? So now it's only the drug dealers who won't get the no-knock raids, but innocent gun owners will. This is why we have to completely defang. I mean, $122 million is a great start, and already I love hearing Democrats like Illinois Senator, Democrat Durbin, yelling about how this is going to prevent them from effectively enforcing gun control. Hallelujah! So this is a good first start, but we need to go the whole way. This is an unconstitutional agency. Just read the Constitution and tell me where there is any authorization for an organization like the BATF-E. You won't find it.
Well, they are a vicious bulldog misused by the Democrat Party to attack the Patriot movement, to attack legitimate gun owners. That's what their history is. That's who they are. I mean, from allowing guns to be sold to criminals from other nations even, shut the agency down. Ban it. Shut it down. It needs to be shut off. Cut the funding off. We got to get more Republicans in to shut the money right off. Disband it. It's got to go. It's got to go. I mean, it's just nothing but trouble, these guys. Track record of, 45, 50-year track record of atrocities. Shut them down. Get rid of them.
And think about the irony here. With this new rule that we're talking about, forcing private gun sellers to become dealers, the rule is encouraging more people to become gun dealers on the one hand, but then what are they doing on the other hand? They're putting gun dealers out of business.
Oh, yeah.
through zero tolerance. So how diabolical is this? It's almost like we are being set up for failure.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we've lost roughly 182 or 183 gun shops. we've lost FFL dealers here in the state of New York so far, and we figure by June 1st, if we don't get our time in federal court, in the United States Supreme Court, where we can win, and of course our case, the Antioch case too, along with the Gazzola case, they're shutting down these gun shops, and we're going to lose. We'll have lost 200 by June 1st. We're figuring now. I mean, we're not going to get these gun shops back. They've been persecuted, prosecuted, so to speak, and through regulation, forced to shut down. They just can't afford to stay in business here in the state of New York. This is what's going on here. So anyway, now the Antioch case is still on standby, right, in the United States Supreme Court. We're waiting to get our day in court. That's where we stand.
That's absolutely right.
All right.
So, you guys know there in New York, after the Good Bruin case, several gun-free zones were enacted by the legislature. So GOA, along with you guys, went to court and got several of these restrictions struck down. That was good.
Yeah.
So some of the freedom areas that had been taken away, now you can carry on private property that's accessible to the public, like gas stations and grocery stores, also places of worship. But the appellate court upheld a lot of other gun-free zones. So that's why we're still battling this, and we're on appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court. These things take time. We're very hopeful, though. We're extremely hopeful because Judge Thomas and Alito, about a year ago, had indicated that they were watching this case very closely. So that gives us some comfort that, especially since what we are challenging is virtually identical to what was at stake in the Bruin case. I mean, this is like a toss-up for the court, or I should say a softball for the court to say, look, New York, we really meant what we said. So that was kind of the strategy in taking the Anton Yuck case and challenging these gun-free zones enacted by the New York legislature and Hochul.
Yeah. Excellent, excellent. Well, all right. So, folks, we got a lot of gunfights going right now. Verbal gunfights, a lot of lawsuits pending. The GOA on the national levels getting multiple calls monthly here for help from all over the United States. And we have our share of problems here, major problems here in the state of New York. When we appreciate all you're doing, gun owners of America is doing for us, helping us, especially with Steve, with your team and Steve doing such a great job here as our primary lawyer here in open court. But we need money. I hate to ask people for money over the airwaves, Eric. It's not easy. It's like pulling teeth, and because it's one fight after another. But we do need help. So any of you out here that can help us, help Gun Owners of America fund these lawsuits, send a check to Gun Owners of America. Eric, what's the best way at this point now to send money, just say to contribute to the lawsuits alone? What's the best way to do that?
Yeah, absolutely. Gunowners.org.
Okay.
And just look at the donation site, and there's options there. All that, whatever you contribute will help in the fight. Fighting the battles in New York in court as well as all over the country. And it's truly appreciated because attorneys aren't cheap. They have to work for a living, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, who knew it was really going to go on and on and on and on like we've had it go? This is just it's wearing us out. This is costing us a lot of time, money, and energy here. It's just going on and on because they're stalling, they're delaying, they're playing games with us, legal games what we're getting played with here by the state of New York, especially.
It's a good time to be challenging because we've got a good Supreme Court on the Second Amendment issue. So we need to strike while the iron's hot, and that's what we're trying to do.
All right. Now, your website again, Gun Owners of America. Go ahead.
Yeah, gunowners.org. Sign up for our free email alerts. Become a Patriot member. Could be a small monthly contribution. That keeps us in the fight and on the front line.
Very good. Well, thank you again, Eric. Appreciate you joining us
today. Thank you, guys.
Take care.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Yep, Eric Pratt, Gun Owners of America. They've been right at the point of the spear through these gun battles we've been having here, especially in New York State. We invited them. We asked them for some help. And Eric said, well, you got it. So he joined us in some of these gunfights and their team. Gun Owners of America team and done a great job. So we appreciate that. And our next guest, let's move on here. Our next guest should be Paloma Capanna coming up.
Yeah, I'm going to have to leave you in the studio here for a couple of minutes.
Okay.
Can I trust you to be in here by yourself and
I'll try not to
do anything destructive?
Okay. All right. I'll just pull out some paperwork here. Yeah. I'll cover a couple things.
Right.
All right.
I'll be right back.
All right.
Okay.
You do that. Come right back in here. All right. A couple of our other I'm looking for the master sheet here. We've got the Antioch case, as was just mentioned with Eric Pratt, going right now. And we are on standby in the United States Supreme Court. The Gazzola case, with Paloma Capanna the lead on that. And we're in the United States Supreme Court. And then we're also in we have an amicus brief over the related to the insurrection that didn't happen. So that Paloma's going to be talking with us about that. She was there and did some live interviews in Washington, D.C. But we've got multiple cases here pending, legal cases here. I'm just pulling this out here. I'll just read off some quick names here so you know what's going on. Antioch, Gazzola, Christian, Hardaway, Spencer, Goldstein, Corbett, Lane, Lewis, and there's a couple other ones to add on here, but multiple cases we've been working on in New York State. And, you know, it just goes on and on and on, and we're getting stalled, we're getting delayed, and it hasn't been easy. It's cost us a lot of money, a lot of time.
All right, I believe we have Paloma Capanna, Second Amendment attorney, consultant, and author on the Second Amendment Show hotline. Hey, Paloma. Are you there? Oh, no.
Don't have her?
She went away.
Okay. Here we go again.
All right.
Well, you're getting there again, I'm going to talk about a couple other things here then. Here we go again. Well, while we're waiting for Paloma to join us, I've got, if you get a chance.
I think I got her here.
You have her?
Yeah, I am.
Okay.
Now I think we've got her.
Paloma. We got her.
Speak to us.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened.
Good morning.
Yes. Well, thanks a lot for joining us, Paloma. It's been a few weeks.
Sure.
Appreciate it. A friend of mine told me yesterday, we were down at the range shooting. He says he saw you on TV. I'm not sure what station or how.
Great.
And that interview there in Washington, D.C., right out in front of one of the buildings. I forgot which one he said, but
that would be the United States Supreme Court.
Oh, yeah, right there, right out in front on the steps.
It's pretty distinctive.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Doesn't look at all like a Chick-fil-A or anything.
Well, so you have made the national news there. You were on. So what happened? Give us the rundown why you were there and what happened and, your thoughts on that event. Go ahead.
Sure. And international is fair to say. I also did an interview with a newspaper out of Montreal, Canada, as well.
Okay.
So last week, the United States Supreme Court heard oral arguments in the case of Fisher v. U.S., and that has to do with a charge brought against more than 350 persons alleging a crime committed on January 6th of 2021 that is hotly contested whether it is a valid charge. The charge itself carries a 20-year federal felony sentence, and the U.S. DOJ also sought in a number of cases enhanced sentencing on top of that for persons they allege to be domestic terrorists. So this was the first case concerning January 6th to reach the nation's high court. And we submitted an amicus brief, including, yours truly, Bob Savage, thank you, of WYSL, and a small group of patriots, Gary Stout, also, who appears on WYSL. And I went to Washington, D.C. to hear the oral arguments live.
Okay.
Fascinating to see the justices in person, to watch their facial expressions, to bear witness to Justice Thomas rocking in his chair, and to the intensity of Justice Gorsuch when he says to an attorney, would you please just answer my question? Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. You do not want to be on the receiving end of those daggers.
Okay.
It was Justice Alito who I would say was the hero of the day. He has much broader shoulders in person, literally, than you would realize from any photographs that you've seen of him. And he simply sunk his teeth into the U.S. Solicitor General and bit down to the point of, you know, blood, really. He was asking her about certain hypothetical situations relative to the charge. And, of course, the issue is whether the court is going to allow this charge to be completely tortured in its application to threaten and chill Americans from protesting at our nation's capital in the future. Justice Roberts then gives it this little twist, very unexpectedly, and the entire courtroom audience, which up to this point, so let's say 75% worth of 2 hours of oral arguments, everybody's really been just sort of in church. It's been this very academic discussion of what is the definition of the word otherwise in the statute. You know, a little academic, almost bordering on everybody kind of drifting a bit, even though it's SCOTUS. But then Justice Roberts starts to say to this U.S. Solicitor General, well, you know, when have you ever charged someone with this 1512C2 for protesting at court, at this court? And everyone in the room held their breath. Because last week, inside the courtroom of the nation's high court, five persons stood up shouting, interrupting oral arguments, had to be physically manhandled and escorted out one at a time. The justices evacuated from the main chambers. Every person in the audience told to stay in their seats while this occurred. And so one by one, all of a sudden, then the justices are piling on against the U.S. Solicitor General like it's a rugby match. And she really floundered. I mean, she just kept reaching for that glass of water. Because as we all know, the only protesters concerning which the U.S. Department of Justice has charged 1512C2 are American citizens who were at the Capitol on January 6th of 2021.
Wow.
A very dramatic finish to the oral argument.
And you know
that go ahead.
Well, the thing that bugs me a lot here is the fact that how far they're going with these people. Most of them have never been arrested their lives. They have no records, and yet they're prosecuting them that hard, that with that vigor, that hate, that anger, going after these innocent Americans that have no records. Wow.
Right. And really, that is a point with which FBI Director Christopher Wray, in his testimony February 2021, and I agree. Crimes were committed that day, but there were plenty of crimes to charge. Theft, trespass, burglary, assault, right? All traditional crimes apply. And there is not one person of whom I am aware charged with 1512C2 who was not also charged with something else. This point is not lost on the court. The court was saying, but you just didn't like that the other crimes were misdemeanors.
Yeah.
And that's really what it boils down to, is we know, because we have been saying on this show and others for 3.5 years and in the books I've published and my website and blogs all over the place, that former U.S. attorney Michael Sherwin launched a campaign of shock and awe to arrest as many Americans as possible before the inauguration of January 20. He told us that on 60 Minutes in April 2021. This is nothing more than theater, this charge of 1512C2. But boy, I tell you, the Solicitor General's office does not want to let go. They are simply determined to make sure that Americans are going to jail and that the key is lost somewhere after it's turned.
Yeah, well, it's a vicious prosecution, vicious harassment of American citizens, patriots, many of them patriots down there that virtually were just there, as Doc mentioned earlier in the show here. They're just walking around, not causing any harm. And they got scooped up in the process, and they're being persecuted and prosecuted. And I mean, it's we've never seen anything like this in the United States of America. This is banana republic stuff. Banana republic.
We have not.
Yeah? It's unbelievable.
And I'll tell you that Kevin and I spent our 2 days in Washington largely doing on-foot and in-vehicle recreation of the events of January 6th from the point of view of different persons that I've been analyzing. My next big volume, so volume 2, will be coming out in May concerning this 1512C2 charge. Who made the decision? How was it implemented? Why is it still moving forward? And on the Wednesday, the day after, when we took the tour of the Capitol, boy, it's been a long time since I've been in there. Too long. All of us Americans should, you know, be paying homage. The scale of that building is just massive. Just massive. So on the day before, on the Tuesday, when I met Mr. Fisher, here's an older gentleman, clearly, visibly, medical conditions, an oxygen tank. And you're telling me that he's gone into this building and he's a threat to our national security. With the size and scale of that building, with the United States Capitol Police having jurisdiction over the building and a $550 million per year budget to protect the building.
Wow.
We have to be worried about that.
Yeah.
We have to be worried about Mr. Fisher potentially plotting to take over. Not to make a joke, I think Mr. Fisher and his counsel would laugh at me saying this, but really, truly, if Nancy Pelosi had walked up to Mr. Fisher and said, go back over there to the sidewalk, he probably would have gone back to the sidewalk.
Yeah, listen,
right?
Paloma, you never know. He might have dropped his oxygen tank on your foot.
Well, I wasn't afraid to walk over to Mr. Fisher and shake his hand and introduce myself. Let me put it that way.
So you didn't consider him a hardened terrorist then, huh? No?
No.
You better watch out. I'm gonna wave this cannula in your face.
I consider myself a fairly good judge of character, having done as much trial work as I've done. And no, I was not concerned for that. You know, I do leave the entire scene, if you will, with a concern for the culture at the U.S. DOJ. That has been my concern for the last 3.5 years. I am not as concerned with the FBI concerning January 6th. We can drill down into details on that for sure. Volume 2 is really going to give you a nice deep cut at the FBI hierarchy and who was running the Washington field office on the day and so forth. But the DOJ just strikes me, and watching the Solicitor General in person and the 8 attorneys that she brought with her, as just green, very young, very just inexperienced. For example, when the Solicitor General was getting pounded by the judges over this issue of there has not been a charge to defend the United States Supreme Court and those justices, including implied, but not said, implied, when protesters went to their homes, right? No
yeah.
charges there. None of the other attorneys did a thing. There's 2 other attorneys sitting up at the front table with her. They don't even lean over to pretend that they're trying to look up anything or pass her a note. There's 5 more attorneys sitting in the front row in front of me. I'm in row 2. Those were reserved seats for attorneys of the Solicitor General's office. The chairs were marked. They took the chair markings down, put them on the floor, and they sat there. So I'm assuming she was with 8 attorneys from her office that all looked, I don't know, maybe in their 30s. Nobody lifted a finger to help her. I mean, this is what I mean about, you know, there was a lot of leadership changes at DOJ going into January 6th, after January 6th, even at this time. And so you've got this culture at DOJ where they made a formal written press release As soon as the United States Supreme Court accepted cert in Fisher v. U.S., they issue a press release that said they were going to go charging for enhanced sentencing misdemeanors if they lose out on this 1512C2 charge.
Yeah. Yeah, desperate. Wow.
And to me, that's really just kind of looking at them. You know, that's a really inexperienced attorney just trying to make their mark. That is not prosecutorial discretion. That is not a United States Attorney General, of which there were several in the weeks right before January 6th and then after, right? Mm-hmm. And then deputy U.S. attorneys. This is not a leadership thinking about, okay, what are we doing here for the big picture? Why are we prosecuting a person who stood on the grass? Why are we going after an individual like Matthew Perna? So not to scramble our listening audience too much, but back to being in the U.S. Capitol. When I stepped into the rotunda, I was very surprised to see the stanchions there, you know, like at a bank, right? You've got your little stanchions right in the middle of the huge rotunda. There's hundreds of kids on school tour. It's noisier than you can imagine. And I walked over to the stanchions, and I said to our tour guide, thank you, Congresswoman Claudia Tenney's office intern, and I said, well, why are these here? And he said, oh, you know, because the members need to sometimes walk through the crowd to go in, you know, to be taking their vote. And I'm touching the stanchion because that's where Matthew Perna stood for 4 minutes. He walked into the building on January 6th. He stood between the two stanchions. He took a little video. He put up his little video. He exited the building. That's the only allegations that were ever made against him.
Hey, all right. Paloma, we are up pretty much out of town, out of time right now, really.
And out of town, too.
Out of town, too, here.
We're
going to get rolling here. Your website, because we got to wrap it up with it right now, literally, we're out of town. What's your website so our listeners can check it out?
Sure. 2ampatriot.com.
.com. So they can read a lot of your material there, what you've done, and you've got a lot of goodies there. All right. Well, thank you for joining us. We are out of time, but the next round, let's cover some of the lawsuits and get into this a little deeper in a couple other areas. We are out of time. Thank you very much for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye-bye. Okay, Paloma Capanna, our Second Amendment attorney, civil rights attorney. There's a gun show at Hamburg, in Hamburg, New York, coming up April 27th and 28th. It's at the fairgrounds, 5820 South Park, Route 62, again in Hamburg, New York. Niagara Frontier, brought to you by Bruce and his family there, put these gun shows together. So make sure, if you can, do your best to get down there and support them. A couple of our other sponsors, one is Northside Salvage Yard, for guaranteed used tires, guaranteed parts, cash for junkers, Northside Salvage Yard, 381-9667, 381-9667, and Jerome's Auto for car repairs, truck repairs, transmission work, engine work, pretty much anything. Jerome's Auto, 482-5573, 482-5573. Both of these numbers are area code 585. Doc, anything on your end here with closing?
Nope, that's it. We're out of time. Out of time. Thanks for joining us for Second Amendment Radio. If you'd like to advertise on the program, 346-3000. See you next time.